Leviticus chapter 8. I've suggested that Leviticus is perhaps, the whole book perhaps, refers to this inauguration of Aaron and his sons. And they're told in verse 2, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the bull of the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread. So there was the sin offering, the two rams of the burnt offering, and then the basket of unleavened bread, which was associated with the peace offering. And this is the usual progression, sin offering, burnt offering, peace offering. That order is preserved very many times throughout the biblical record. So you can see the progression. But first of all, there must be conviction of sin. Then there is recognition of that in offering a sin offering. And then there is, arising from that, devotion to God, which is represented by the burnt offering, and then the experience of peace with God and fellowship with God, which is represented by the peace offering. So, you can see then the path, that first of all, there must be a recognition of human sin. Now, unfortunately, in our age, talking about sin and saying that people have got to fess up and recognize their own weakness, their own sin, their own dysfunction, their own disobedience is not popular. And that's why the gospel apparently makes little progress in one sense. It makes huge progress in the lives of some, but that's why people generally will sign up for going to church, for some sort of religion. But personal conviction of sin, that you personally have offended God, no, people don't like that. And that's why there is this lack of serious commitment, generally, amongst those who, in a religious sense, would call themselves Christian. And the sin offering comes before the burnt offering, and then there has to be the peace offering. Then there is this absolutely solid assurance that I am in fellowship with God, not on the basis of works, but on the basis of your recognition of sin and your belief in the sin offering of the Lord Jesus. And again, this is the stuff of true spirituality, where you can sit at the breaking of bread and generally in your life in sweet fellowship with God, at peace with God, eating at his table as his friend, reconciled and devoted to him. But you won't get there unless you recognize your sinfulness and unless you go through the burnt offering, the willingness to devote yourself completely to him. So this is what was required of Aaron and his sons, that they were to enter the service of the tabernacle having had this conviction of personal sin and this conviction of a desire, therefore, to serve God, the burnt offering, dedication to him, and there they were, serving in the tabernacle, and at peace with God. Well, when you read on, you read verse 6 that they were washed with water. And this is, again, language used in the New Testament about baptism and about our conscience being washed with water. And we are called, in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, a holy priesthood. We have become this priesthood. It is no longer the sons of Aaron who are God's priests. It is all God's people. And then it goes on that they were to put the white clothing on the priests. And that, I suppose, looks ahead to us being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus after baptism. But the whole point was that the baptism, the immersion in water for them, was to look forward to a life of service. It was the beginning of a life of service. And so this is what baptism means. Even if we did not quite appreciate it when we were baptized, this is what we signed up to and what we willingly should want to continue, a life of service to God. It is not a statement that I agree with a set of theological propositions, so I show this by doing this baptism thing, and I am thereby signed up to a particular denomination or whatever. Not at all. This is not at all the idea. It is a washing, as the priests were washed, to dedicate you for service. Then verse 12, he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Well, the Septuagint uses a word there for anointing and sanctifying, which is only used in the New Testament in 1 John 2, verses 20 and 27, where we are told that we each have been anointed and sanctified. But this is alluding to what was done to Aaron, the first high priest. So it's an amazing idea, especially for those from the first century Jewish background, that you are to be the high priest. This, in fact, was what was in view when the veil separating the most holy place from the holy place was torn down. And Hebrews says that this was so that all could enter in. Well, who entered beyond the veil? It was only the high priest once a year. On one hand, that represents how Jesus has now entered into heaven itself. But the argument also in Hebrews is that we all have entered into the direct presence and fellowship with God because of the work of the Lord Jesus and the tearing of the veil, which Paul says is his flesh on the cross. So then we too have been anointed and sanctified. We therefore are to do the work of the high priest. And what was that? It was to make atonement for the sins of the people. It was to save others. And so then this is our calling, that we are called to make a radical difference in this world. Not simply feeding the hungry, not simply giving clothes to the naked or whatever, but more than that, to reconcile men and women with God. Because we are called to do the work of the priests, which was not in its first instance simply and solely humanitarian stuff. And we can do that. If you talk to somebody and persuade them of the things of Jesus, and they get baptized, and they're covered in his righteousness, and they shall live forever, and their sins are forgiven, wow, you have done the work of the high priest. And this is our calling. And let's be very clear about that. The pouring of the anointing oil on Aaron's head to anoint him and to sanctify him, or to dedicate, or make him holy, make him separate unto the things in the service of God, this is for all of us. And as I say, 1 John 2, 20 and 27 specifically use the words out of the Septuagint here, that's the Greek version of the Old Testament, and apply them to us. So then, we therefore have sinned, but we have had the sin offering made for us, we have identified with that, and this then is the basis of our further practical dedication, on the basis that I am a sinner, was a sinner, have been forgiven, have resolved to be dedicated, the burnt offering, and now I enjoy peace with God, and I want to share that with you.